Welcome to our seventh and final sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Choose, Deciding Our Values for Life. Today's sermon title, Valuing Christ. Open your Bible to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10, and let's begin.
O Lord, you teach us to challenge our values, and then you ask us to live out our values in our daily lives. Please empower me to clearly proclaim the infinite value of Christ. Guide me to express why I value Christ as my highest value. Create faith in our souls. Call your wandering children home. Exalt Christ in our thoughts and in our hearts, so that we may know you, and knowing you have eternal life. In Christ's name, amen. Something very unique happened in Cremona, Italy, at the end of the 1600s and the beginning of the 1700s. Three workshops from three different families: the Amati family, the Stradivarius family, and the Guari family. They produced the best violins in human history. If you have a violin at your house and it says Stradivarius in it, it's not a real Stradivarius. It's a copy. The real Stradivariuses, they're known. And most of them are in museums. I want to talk to you about a unique violin that doesn't come from the Stradivarius family. It comes from the Guarini family. This violin right here, it was made in 1743. And Paganini himself played this instrument. He had a violin made by the Amatis, but he got carried away one night gambling and lost it. And a friend of his gave him this violin that was wrecked, and he took it to a luthier and had it repaired. This is one of the few violins that has a name. Paganini named it the Canon, because he said music burst out of it like out of a cannon. This violin is in a museum in Italy. But oddly enough, they take it out of the case and play it. They try to play it at least once a month. They also loan this instrument to great players, and they use it for concerts. In fact, this violin made it all the way to America once. It was played in 2006 in San Francisco in a conference. The insurance to get it here was astronomical, and the Italian police insisted on being with it every step of the way. The reason they play these great violins are they lose their value if they're not played. It turns out an instrument degrades more quickly if it's not being played than if it is played. So for it to maintain its value, it has to be played. But that's true of all values. When you stop using the value, it goes down in your life. Think about things in your life. I remember as a boy, I valued my ball glove. I valued it. It was my valued possession. Sometimes I would just get it out and throw a baseball into it. Didn't have anybody to play catch with. I'd just throw a ball into it. Some of you did the same thing. I don't value that ball glove at all anymore. I don't even know where the heck it is. Somewhere in my life, it got put on a shelf. It stopped being important. Somewhere in my life, my value for it went down. And not only did it become unimportant, it passed out of my life without even me remembering where it went. See, values have to be used. If I don't use my values, that my value for that declines. And this is certainly true of Jesus Christ. Christ is infinitely valuable. But sadly, because we put our value for Christ on hold, it's easy for our value for him to decline and decline, and for us to value other things more than we actually value Christ. The Apostle Paul valued Christ. And in his letter to the church at Ephesus, he told us why he valued Christ. Listen to what he wrote. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him to be seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved by faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I want to tell you why I value Christ. And maybe if I can tell you why I value Christ, it will help you connect with your value of Christ. I value Christ for the same reason Paul did. I value Christ because he's rich in mercy. Christ is rich in mercy. See, mercy humanizes justice. Where justice doesn't have the human touch, it becomes brutal. Can you imagine computerizing justice? You go to court. The prosecution types in your crime, the thing you're accused of, and their evidence. The defense types in the defense. The computer runs some algorithm and spits out guilty or innocent and your sentence. No one would want that. It seems inhuman. Mercy humanizes justice. I value Christ because he has the capacity to always soften justice with mercy. I can't bear the justice of God. But when God tempers his justice with mercy, I find him incredibly valuable. Mercy drives forgiveness. Where there is no mercy, there's no forgiveness. There's only harshness. There's only condemnation. I value Christ because his mercy leads him to be forgiving. Forgiving not once, not twice, But as Jesus said to Peter, if your brother offends you and repents, you have to forgive him 70 times 7. The forgiveness of Christ in mercy to me has gone beyond 70 times 7. And I value him because of his richness of mercy. Christ's mercies are new every single day. Have you ever felt like you exhausted Christ's mercy for a day? You just got the whole day wrong. Okay, I know you guys are good guys. I have gone to bed feeling like I exhausted God's mercy. It seemed like everything I did that day was wrong. But I get up the next morning and his mercies are new every day. He says to me, let's try to do better than you did yesterday, Hoss, but I still have mercy for you today. I value him because he's rich in mercy, and my mess ups are never greater than the riches of his mercy. I value him because he's great in love. God's love is so great, he loves us as individuals. He loves you as an individual person. He knows your name. He knows your heart. He knows your fears. He knows your strengths. Christ loves you as an individual with a great love. I value Christ because greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. I value him because he loved me enough to lay down his life for me, church. He loves us not just as individuals. He loves us as the church. He loves us as a group. He doesn't just love us when we're good. He loves us with an eternal love. God will never fall out of love with you. Some of you know moments in your life when someone who said, I love you, has betrayed that love. And you felt the sorrow of betrayed love. Christ loves you with a great and eternal love, and there'll never be a day when he falls out of love with you. I value Christ because of his great love. Christ's love is a giving love and not a taking love. I read a fable by Aesop, and back when men could marry two wives, a man married two wives. One was younger than him, and one was older than him. And as he began to age, he started getting a salt and pepper look. You know, some white hairs, some dark hairs. Well, when he spent time with his young wife, she would say, "Oh, these white hairs make you look old," and she would start plucking his white hairs. I didn't say bald. Don't do that in the next service. Now my story's wrecked. The older wife pulled the dark hairs, the younger wife pulled the white hairs. The older wife wanted him to look dignified with that beautiful gray hair. The younger wife wanted him to look young with that dark, shining hair. And day by day, they plucked him bald. Aesop's fable is saying this: you better be careful of plucking love. It will leave you with nothing left. Church? Christ doesn't have a plucking love. He's not in my life looking to see what he can pluck out of me and pluck out of me and pluck out of me. He has a great and giving love. I am enriched by the love of Christ. I am not impoverished by it. I value him because he's great in love. I value Christ because he makes me alive together with him. I know that I was dead in trespasses and sin. Sin kills something in us. You know that to be true. When you do something that your conscience can't bear, it just kills something on the inside of you. Are you self-aware to know that? But Christ, in his great goodness, when I was dead in trespasses and sin, he made me alive together with him. I have a life that I could not otherwise have if Christ had not made me alive together with him. I value Christ because something of his nature lives within me. And as he is merciful, he makes me merciful. As he is loving, he makes me loving. As he's kind, he makes me kind. Can I tell you, Christ cares about the daily issues of your life. I don't know what you have to face tomorrow, but I can tell you this. You are alive together with Christ, and he'll be there with you. I don't know what obstacles you have to confront, but I promise you, if you are alive together with Christ, he will be there with you in every single obstacle. I value Christ because I am alive together with him in a daily way. And no matter what I'm doing or where I am, I can whisper to him and his grace will give me what I need in that moment. I value Christ because he has a seat for me in heavenly places. You can't live forever, church. You hear me, brothers and sisters? The world and everything in it is passing away. The world and everything in it is passing away. It won't be many years before people will fill this building who never knew that we came here Sunday by Sunday. The world will pass to another generation. It won't be that long, and you'll be a story that your family tells to people who never met you. What happens when I have to let go of everything here? Christ says, don't worry. You won't have to wander around and try to find your own place. I've already got a seat prepared for you at my table. I value Christ because he has a seat prepared for me when I leave this world and enter into the kingdom of heaven. I value Christ because he doesn't say, well, come on up here and try to figure it out. He says, I've got it figured out. I have prepared a place for you. And I value him because of that. I value him because his place that he has prepared for me is heaven. Church, I don't deserve heaven. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you have convinced yourself that there's something innately better about you than other people. I'm going to confess I do not deserve heaven. I have one hope of heaven, and that is Christ says, I have a seat for you. By grace, I give you this seat. Church, not only does he have the seat for us, but he says he will raise us up. and seat us in heavenly places. Do you get this idea? Someday Christ is going to say, this is all of this you have to do. Now I raise you up. I raise you up above a broken world. I raise you up above a world of tears and sorrows. I raise you above a world of disappointments. And I seat you in heavenly places with Christ eternally. I value him because he's going to raise me up and give me a place at his table in eternity. I value Christ for the same reason Paul did, because of the riches of his grace in kindness. Christ has all the grace of kindness you will ever need. All the kindness you will ever need, Christ has. When I think about the stages of my life, I can look back and I see God's kindness every step of the way. I remember being a boy, and remember, I define kindness as usefulness, a soft-hearted usefulness. I remember being a boy, and I can think of ways God was kind to me when I was a boy. I had a tendency to get in trouble, but Christ found ways to be kind to me. In a harsh world, I found kindness in Christ. When I was a young man, Christ was kind to me and made Sharon temporarily insane long enough to get a ring on her finger. One of his greatest kindnesses to me in my whole life. He was kind to me. He was kind to me when I was raising children. He's probably kind to my kids too. He's been kind to me in my work. He's been kind to me in my life. I was in an accident that almost killed me. He was kind to me and spared my life. I look through the phases of my life. I see myself as a boy, a young man, a middle-aged man. I see myself as an aging man. And I see the riches of his kindness at every phase of my life. I value him because somehow or another, in his great wisdom, he's figured out how to give me the kindness that I needed at each step of my life. And I value him for it. He's been kind to me in ways that I definitely don't deserve. Some kindnesses we deserve. The kindness that I have received from Christ is way beyond what I deserve. His grace, the riches of his grace of kindness, undeserved kindness. I value Christ because he gives me the gift of faith. Faith isn't something that I trumped up within myself. Faith is a way of knowing. This is eternal life, that you may know him and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Eternal life is knowing Christ. How do I come to know Christ? He gives me that gift. If you have faith in God today, it is a gift that he gave you. It's not something you trumped up. It's not something you earned. It's not something you struggled to get. It was a gift that the Holy Spirit simply gave you. And I value him for the gift of salvation that comes through knowing Christ. I value him because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you know you are Christ's workmanship? I try to tell you this often. You're more than a biological function. You are a unique soul. And the thing that makes you a unique soul is the creative genius of Jesus Christ. Yes, I know that physically you share family traits with those who came before you. You see my dad, you see that I'm his son. I share physical traits with him. But my physical traits are not my soul. My soul is unique. It has something of the creative touch of Jesus Christ. And I value him because he said, I love you enough that I make you unique and special. You're not just another cog in my cosmic machinery. You are an individual that holds something of the thoughtful majesty of Jesus Christ. Church, I value him for that. If there's anything special about who you are, it's the creative genius of Christ that makes you special. I value Christ because not only did he create me, he has to recreate me. I'm broken. You're broken. And it is his work in us day by day to recreate us into the original image that he wanted us to be. Do you get that? He is at work in you, and he's at work in me, sanctifying us, making us exactly the beautiful soul that he intended us to be. And I value him for that. I value him. Not only does he work in me, but he works through me. Created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you know what? God still has something good to do through you. When your good work is done, you're done. Church, young people, you're never too young to work with Christ. Middle-aged people, you're never too busy to work with Christ. You who are my age and older, you're never too old to work with Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. Church, I value Christ because he's altogether valuable. I value him because when I compare him to anything else in the world, it's less than. I love my family. I love them as much as I can love them. But I value Christ above my family. Parents, the kids grow up. They fall in love with someone else. They have their own families. And there isn't a dad in the world that can compete with a two-year-old. There isn't a granddad in the world that compete with the two-year-old. Church, that's the way it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be a growing up and a letting go. There's no growing up and letting go of Christ. There's no outgrowing Christ. There's no Christ outgrowing us. He's altogether valuable because he is the closest one to our souls. I value my job. I love this job. I come to the playground every day. I hate to think that someday somebody will be up here not doing it as well as I can do it. It's the way we feel, isn't it? But brothers and sisters, all our jobs are temporary. All our jobs are temporary. You are not your career. You are an eternal soul. And someday your company will replace you. Christ will never replace you. There's no one that can take your place in Christ's heart. You are irreplaceable to him. Church, I want to talk to three different groups this morning. The first group I'd like to talk to is, you've never valued Christ enough to really trust Him with your eternal soul. You've just never valued Him enough to say, I trust you. I trust you to forgive everything you don't like about me, and I trust you to make me into the person you want me to be. I trust you enough to surrender to you and accept you as my Lord and Savior. Why wouldn't you do that today? Why wouldn't you say, Christ is valuable enough to me that I'm going to trust Him with my eternal soul? I want to talk to a second group of people. There was a time in your life when you did trust Him. There was a time in your life when you valued Him above everything. There was a time in your life when you were close to Him and you felt His closeness to you. But you've drifted. The pathways of life have led you away. Your value for Christ has been underused, and it's slipped. And now, if you're honest, there are things that you really value more than Christ. Why wouldn't you come home today? Why wouldn't you be the prodigal child and say, it was better when I valued Christ above all? And why not come home? Why not surrender to Him again? Why not say to Him, I've made a mistake. I want to correct it. I want to have a fresh sense of your mercy. I want a fresh sense of your love. I want a fresh sense of the great grace of your kindness. I want you to be first in all my values again. And then the third group I'd like to talk to is you who value Christ above all. He's first in your life. You live with Him in a day-to-day way. You know His presence. You hear His whispers. You follow His guide. Why wouldn't you share your value for Christ with someone else? Remember, I told you, people figure out what the church is worth by how much we value it. But could I tell you, people figure out what Christ is worth by how much we value Him. If Christ isn't the first value in His follower's heart, why should anyone else be a follower of Christ? Why hide your value? Why hide your light under a bushel? Why not look for ways to share as you go through life your value for Jesus Christ? Not in an obnoxious way, not in an intrusive way, but in a heartfelt, true value for Christ. You express to others your value for Jesus Christ. I believe today would be a good day to make some serious decisions, to decide to receive Christ as your highest value and trust your soul with Him, to decide to come home. You've strayed too long. You're not happy where you are. Christ values you infinitely, and He's ready for you to come home. Why not make a commitment to share your value of Christ with someone else? Our dear Heavenly Father, I call upon your name. I know that Christ is more valuable than I could ever describe. I know you value us more than we could ever imagine. Now I pray your Holy Spirit would do this morning what only He could do and bring us to commitment. Bring us to moments where we reevaluate our values and we reestablish Christ as the primary value in our lives. I ask this In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.